Welcome to Walking in His Word, everybody. Coming at you from Cornerstone Church in Highland, Michigan. Welcome to Walking in His Word, everybody. And guess what? I got my co-host back. Pastor Aaron is back in the room.
Woo! I'm back. Super excited to be back. It's sad that I missed yesterday, but I'm glad to be back. I'm more excited to be back in the room today. We're in the middle of a great message, and we're actually at the beginning of it. But lukewarm. Are you lukewarm? And Pastor Tim was talking about this church. And it's the church in Laodicea, correct?
Yeah. Yep.
And I have some fond memories of this passage of scripture, Pastor Luke, because when I was a wee young lad in our kids' ministry here, we would do a big event every year called Gross Out Night.
Oh.
And our children's minister, the verse that she would preach on every time we did gross out night was this verse.
Okay.
Because we were doing all these really gross, nasty things. You know, we were spitting crickets and drinking Coke out of somebody's sock.
That's kind of cool.
And we were like, they would like fill up diapers with like chocolate pudding and mix it with like corn and green beans. And you had to like eat it as fast. They were really doing all these gross things. And then they talked about, you know, there's one thing that grosses out God.
Ah.
And it's a lukewarm Christian. This kind of person is just apathetic. They have no fire. They're not hot or cold. And so every time I hear this verse, my mind instantly brings me back to like third grade Aaron sitting in Miss Becky's class, you know, trying to eat this chocolate pudding filled with corn as fast as I can, which is a great like visual in my head.
Yeah.
But every time I hear this verse or hear it talked about, that's what my mind goes to. And hopefully maybe your goes to something a little different than that.
You know, it's funny because my mind does not go to that. But I do think about something. It's personal.
Okay.
You know, because my name is Luke.
Yes.
And I always feel a little bit like, oh, man, why is my name got to be in something the Lord's spitting out? I just think about that. And yeah, it's like, it kind of hits like a personal note to me. I don't know if that's how the word I want to use. Like, but yeah, it feels like my name's in it, and it stands out to me. And I'll tell you what right now, Pastor Aaron, is you can get lukewarm in your walk with the Lord without really even realizing it.
100%.
Let's go to the message.
Let's do it.
You're not rich, you're poor. You can't see, you're blind. Get some eye salve of my Holy Spirit so you can see. You're like the water system. You're totally unsatisfactory. You don't have any type of qualities in you that make me want to receive from you. I mean, who wants to drink lukewarm water, right? And that's the way Jesus looked at this particular church. The purpose of this message is I want to inspire the men of Cornerstone to be full of passion for Jesus Christ. It's a message for the men specifically, but also for all of us, for Cornerstone to be red hot, passionate, on fire, highly anointed, blessed of the Lord, filled with life, the life of the Holy Spirit. Individuals need to have that in their own heart and in their own life. So he reveals himself to this church there in verse 14. He says, these things say the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. So Jesus is the Amen. And what do we say at the end of something great? We say, Amen, or so be it, or that's true. Well, the Bible says that Christ is the Amen of all of his promises. All the promises of God are yes and Amen in Christ Jesus. And so when he reveals himself as the Amen, he says, I am the fulfillment of all of the blessings and promises of God to you. He's the great AM. We never think of AM being a name of Jesus, like Lord or Master or Bread of Life, but Amen is a wonderful name for Jesus because it speaks about the certainty of the promises of God that we have in him. But he also says, I am the faithful and true witness. Now, Jesus is giving a witness to this church, the church of Laodicea. And what he is saying about them witnessing about them. What he's saying is harsh, challenging, difficult. It's a word of rebuke, right? But he says, I'm the faithful and true witness. What I say about you is the truth. What I witness concerning myself, what I say about myself is true, but also what I say about you is true. And so there are times when we can have opinions about ourselves, but I want you to know the opinion that truly matters is from the faithful and true witness, Jesus Christ. He also says that he's the beginning of the creation of God. That doesn't mean that Jesus was the first one created by God, because he always has been, always will be. He's the eternal one. But what that means is he's the beginning or the initiator of God's work. And I want you to know that Jesus wants to come and he wants to begin something in you. He's the initiator of God's good work. And he wants to begin something in you, and he wants to begin something in me. He wants to initiate something, start something. And he certainly wanted to do it in this Laodicean church. And perhaps you're here today and you've never had God begin a work in you, a work of salvation, a work of sanctification, a work that just transforms your life. Well, I have good news for you. Today can be your day for God to begin something new in your life or in your marriage or in your family. Or perhaps he began that good work and you've drifted away from it. Well, I got good news for you today, because he who began that good work can perform it or finish it. He can begin again a work in you. He can revisit that work. He can breathe upon that work. He can stir up that work. Amen. He can do these things. The revelation of Jesus Christ, the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, the message, oh my goodness. In verse 17, because you say, not I say, but you say. It's like the Laodicean church, they're saying, you know what? As I look at us here today, we're rich. And then they look again and they say, and we have need of nothing. And they look again and they say, we're wealthy. And then the Lord says, he looks at them the first time and he says, you're wretched. And then he looks again and says, not only are you wretched, you're miserable. And not only are you that, you're poor, blind, and naked. Talking about two different opinions, two different perspectives. Because you say, and the Lord wanted them to know that you're not wealthy, but poor. You don't have it all together, have need of nothing, or self-sufficient, but rather you're blind and naked. It's like the Lord is saying, I know that you are materially very prosperous, but I want you to know spiritually, you're destitute. Self-sufficiency is not spiritual power. What do I mean by that? Self-sufficiency. I can do this. I can handle this. I got this. Self-sufficiency is the testimony of, I don't need God. I don't need to pray. I want you to know that that is not spiritual power. We become powerful when we embrace our weaknesses and use our weaknesses as an opportunity to turn to God. And when we are weak, he then becomes strong, right? True spiritual power is, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The Lord would say, your personal opinion about yourself is not the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. You think you got it all together? You think that you're where you need to be? You don't think you have much need? I want you to know that your personal opinion is not really the way it ought to be. That's not really the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul put it this way in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 4. For I know of nothing against myself, yet I am not justified by this, but he who judges me is the Lord. You know, that's true humility. You know, Apostle Paul is talking to the Corinthians and says, you know what? I get a lot of criticism, but when I truly look inward, I don't agree with those criticisms. I'm not seeing this in me. I'm not who they say that I am in their criticisms. But you know what? My personal opinion about myself, that's not really what matters.
We live in a culture of social media. We live in this digital age.
Oh, gosh.
And I'm just going to tell you guys right now that if you are a bold Christian on social media, you are going to get some criticism. We've talked about it on the radio show before. Even our church gets so much criticism on our social media pages.
Yeah, people don't realize it, that there is so much criticism in the comment section on our social media.
Yeah. And so, you know, we live in this age where it's so easy to criticize somebody. It's so easy to type a nasty comment.
Call them like a keyboard warrior.
Yeah. Yeah. You can be a keyboard warrior for all of the right or wrong reasons. And I don't think either of them are super healthy. But I love that Pastor Tim is kind of brings this kind of idea to a head here. And he says, it doesn't matter how much you can justify yourself. Hmm. You know, like if I post something and some people get so up in arms and they're offended, and man, they start, their thumbs are going at 100 miles an hour, giving me the nastiest comments. If I'm trying to sit there and justify it, then I'm looking at it with the wrong perspective.
Interesting. I agree.
That I shouldn't be the one to justify myself. But if the Lord is justifying what I'm doing, if I just leave it alone and put it in His hands, because what does the Bible say? Vengeance is the Lord's. It's not mine to take. Then I'm falling more in line with this biblical idea of it's your criticism of me or my justification of myself. Neither of them really matter.
Huh.
What matters is what God says about me.
Yes. Absolutely. This is really sad when it comes to the criticism on social media. And I would say the majority of any kind of criticism I've ever received when it comes to being a Christian, over 90% of it has come from Christians.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
Man, that's so sad.
That is the sad part. And you're talking about like who can justify us? Whose opinion should I really seek?
Yeah.
God.
Yeah. God's.
God's opinion.
God's opinion. Come on.
Opinions are like, I shouldn't say it. I'll just say belly buttons.
Okay.
Everyone's got one and they're kind of stinky.
All right. I like it.
You like that?
Yeah. That's good. I was preaching this to some teenagers recently and I talked about this idea. I said, you know, there's so many of us, we have these people-pleasing tendencies. We want to be a people-pleaser.
Yep.
I said, but what if before we were a people pleaser, we try to be a God pleaser?
Do you think if you're a people pleaser that you'll eventually just get lukewarm?
Yeah, I think if that's your main goal,
yeah,
you'll slowly drift from who God has created you to be because you care more about other people's opinion than being the person that God's created you to be.
I think so too. As a pastor, we have to give hard words sometimes.
Yeah.
And people's opinions of it can be really nasty and terrible.
Yep.
And mean. And if we cared about everybody's thought, then we wouldn't deliver a hard word.
Yeah, that's true.
And if you just never, ever fully, if you're a pastor and you're like, I'm not preaching that. I think eventually the fire goes down.
Yep.
The candle goes down. The flicker goes down. Eventually the Lord's going to just kind of stop talking to you because He couldn't trust you so many times with His word. He couldn't trust you. We got a lot to say this week. We're just getting started on this great message from Pastor Tim called Are You Lukewarm? We'll be right back here tomorrow morning.
Walking in His Word.
Thank you for listening to our show today. You can find more information at our website, cornerstonehighland.com. Subscribe to us on YouTube. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook. We'd love to see you at church one day. Please do not be a stranger.